Okay, we're continuing in the Rambam Hilchas Geneva Perek Gimel Halacha Vav. We've been discussing many of the laws of Kamle B'Rabba Minei, in where if a person does an act that simultaneously transgresses two sins. So he said if one of the sins is a death penalty, regardless if you get it or not, and another one is a financial penalty, you do not pay the financial penalty under any circumstances. If at the same time he does an action that would render malchus, lashes, and a financial penalty, then we say it depends. If you get malchus, you don't get a financial penalty. If you don't get malchus, you do get the financial penalty. So we're construing, and we construe different cases where the geneva, is it at the same time as the chilul Shabbos or whatever or not? So a similar type of case, but with a different slant. And now we're beginning to merge multiple concepts here. So you will recall, we had this concept. We talked about if a ganav sends someone to be a shliach for him to steal. So what did we say? We say normally, on the one hand, that shluach shalarim kamosa, a messenger is like the person who sent him. But then we said ain shliach l'dvar avera. Right. If I send someone to a sin, he's not considered my messenger, and he does it on his own. But then we said by what? By tvichin mechira. We said that somebody could be your shliach. Could be a shlich, and it is considered he's your shlich for you, and you are chayv. Recall that.
Yeah.
So for tvicha mechira, we say yesh shlich l'dvar
aveira. But that's the only exception
to the rule. So now we're going to put that concept together with doing something that gives misa and payment. Merge the two concepts together. Okay. So let's see an alach
avav. What was tvicha?
Slaughtering. Slaughtering or selling. Vav. Also shaliach lishchoit lo. So now, the guy makes he has stolen the animal, and now he makes someone a shaliach, a messenger, to shecht the animal for him. And guess what? V'shachet lo a shaliach v'shabbos. And the shaliach shechted it on Shabbos. So let's see what we got over here. We have the shaliach doing one action, and in this one action, it renders the shchita, the tvicha, the obligation to pay four or five. And at the same time, we have the what? We have chayiv misa, activity at least, of chilul Shabbos. So now, what is the critical point we have to see now? Was the ganav, was the messenger, chayiv to pay for the four or five or not, while he does the chilul Shabbos at the same time? Is he or not? So what do we know? Do we say there's a shliach l'dvar avera over here?
Well, this is
for tvicha, for shechling. Yes. So who has to pay?
The ganef.
Yes. So now what happens in this one action? The ganef has to pay, and the other guy, the shliach, has shechted on Shabbos.
Right.
He gets his chiv misa. There's no shliach l'dvar avera for chiyav misa.
No.
Chiyav misa, the obligation of death, goes to the shaliach, the messenger. So now, what do we have? So we're going to have, let's see the Rambam now. Also shliach lishchad lo, makes a shaliach to shech for him. V'shachad lo a shaliach v'shabbos, and a shliach shechs on Shabbos. Harei aganav chayav v'tashluma arba v'chamisha. The ganav, the original thief, has to pay four and five. Why? Because this ganav lo also avon misas bezdin, he didn't do anything that should bring upon him a death penalty. It was the messenger who shechted on Shabbos that gets the death penalty. Ukvar bayarnu, and already explained, shashoyched al yedei shaliach, if someone shech gets the animal slaughtered through a shaliach, chayev v'tashlumim, the original ganav has to pay for the four and five. So it comes out like this. So in terms of the shechting it, even though the other guy shechted it, and we normally say there's no shliach l'dvar aver, but for here's the one exception, we say yes, shliach l'dvar aver. And it means he does it for the person who sent him, who's the ganef. So the ganef at this moment of shchita is chayiv to pay the four and five for what the action of the shliach did. But the fact that the shliach shechted it on Shabbos renders a chiyuv misa, a death penalty for the shliach. So therefore, it's not one person incurring the two penalties. So it comes out, even though we say a rule, when one person does something and two penalties come out at the same time, we would free the financial one, but that's if the two penalties are coming to the same person. But if it's not coming to the same person, and it's more than that, it's like he is the shliach, he is the messenger of the ganav. So it's like the ganav shechted it, insofar as the thievery aspect is concerned, but insofar as the chilul Shabbos and the desecration of Shabbos aspect, it's considered that the shliach shechted it. So we're kind of splitting up the ownership of the averos, even though the shliach perpetrated both averos at the same time. It wouldn't matter, even if he told him to shecht it on Shabbos. For that part, chilul Shabbos, there's no shliach l'dvar averos. Only for the shechita, the payment of the 4 and 5 of the tvicha, is the shliach, but not for the chilul Shabbos. If I tell you go be mechal Shabbos, so that's your problem. It's not my problem, right? Question?
Well, it's the same like murder. If I go tell you to murder somebody,
okay. But we only said the only time that the sender is chayev is for tvicha. That's the only exception to the rule.
If I tell you to shoot somebody, and you shoot him. I'm not liable. You're liable.
That's right.
He gets it.
He's not supposed to listen to you.
That's right.
Not supposed to. If you hire a guy according to Torah law to go kill somebody, it's not your problem. Okay, so because you didn't do it, because that guy is supposed to listen to you. That's all. Not supposed to listen to you. Okay, moving on. Halacha Zion. We have a concept in testimony. We're moving on to another aspect here. With a concept in testimony, it says Al pi shnayim o shlosha edim yakum davar. By the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses, yakum davor, the item, the thing can be established. So the rabbis say, yakum davor, the thing can be established, but it has to be a whole thing through your testimony. Whereas your testimony must accomplish everything, and not velo chatzi davor, and not half a thing. Let's give an example. Let's say if a person lives in someone else's property for 3 years straight, and the owner didn't say anything, didn't say boo. He's living in town. Somebody else goes in his property, starts working on our property, lives on property for 3 years, and nobody says anything. We have a rule that the new person who came in, we assume he was the owner, because the original owner should have said something, and since he didn't. So that's the law. Now, how do we know the guy lived there 3 years? You have to have witnesses that he lived there 3 years. So what if you have like this? One set of witnesses only testified that he lived there in the year 2004. And another different pair of witnesses says he lived there in the year 2005. And another pair of witnesses says he lived there in the year 2006. The guy has no chazaka. The guy has no testimony to say he's lived there for 3 years. Because you have to have one testimony on the entire thing. That's a rule of the Torah. It's a davor velo chatzi davor. You have to testify for all 3 years. And if that, what you testify, isn't enough to do anything, then it's not considered admissible testimony. That's the halacha from the Torah. So now, let's take a look over here in our situation here. Let's say a fellow stole an animal and then shechted the animal. And we'll say that there are 2 witnesses that saw him steal the animal, and a separate 2 witnesses saw him slaughter the animal. Would we apply the same principle of that there was only half testimony or not?
No.
That is the question. So let's see what the Rambam has to say. Zion. Hayu shnayim me'idim shaganav. 2 fellows testify that he stole. Now, does it matter, says the Rambam. Bein sheheidu hein asvin shetavachu machar. It doesn't matter if it's the same 2 witnesses who stole are the same 2 who says he slaughtered or sold. Or bein sheheidu achem. Or if 2 brand new witnesses testify for the latter part, shetavachu machar, that he slaughtered or stole. Even if it's 2 separate witnesses. Mishalem tashlume arbo vechamisha. The guy pays 4 and 5. So it's not like, it's not considered a case of chatzi davar, half a testimony. Why is that the case? Because it's very simple. When we're talking about 2 witnesses each testifying in each year, so each one's testimony alone does nothing. Does nothing. However, when the first 2 witnesses testify that the guy stole, that already accomplishes something because he already has to pay kefil. It's already been determined completely that he is a ganef. If nothing else happens, he is a ganef and he has to pay kefil. And these witnesses don't need to come on to anybody. Now, once we've established a halachic basis to say the guy is a ganef, Now that stands on its own. It's not the same as you testify that 1 year the guy was in a guy's land. That doesn't do anything for us. There's nothing to be, there's nothing been established yet. But when two witnesses establish that he steals, we already have clear a halacha he has to pay. So now he's in a primed position, this ganav, that now if anybody will testify that he has sold, this is now a perfect in its own testimony as well, because we're obligating a different thing that already is existent and established. He's already an established ganav. When a guy's in the field for 1 year, nothing's been established yet. That's a half a testimony. So here it's possible to have a full testimony on the stealing, because that's one payment, and then a full testimony on the selling or the shechting, because that's another full payment. So therefore, it's not a problem of chatzi dover, of half testimonies. Now, hoyu shnayim me'im shegana. 1 second. Let's say there's two fellows who testify that he stole. Okay? So he's going to have to pay kefil for that. That's for sure. Now, then comes the eid echad, one witness, meid shetavach umachar. He testifies that the ganef sold it or slaughtered it. Or another case, shahoda me'as v'shetavach umachar. Or the ganef himself, after he was told, was convicted, so to speak, of stealing, but there's no witnesses to say that he slaughtered or sold it, the ganef himself admits that he slaughtered or sold it. So in either case, what's halacha? Mishalom tashlumi kefil. He pays the double amount. Ve'ena mashalom tashlumi barachamishi. He does not pay 4 or 5. Why? Well, in the first case, where there's only one witness for the next thing, one witness doesn't accomplish anything. And in the second case, where the guy admitted, we have a principle, shamoda biknas, anyone who confesses a knas, a penalty that's beyond the actual damage, pot, you don't have to pay. Kamosh Maran has already explained. We have a principle, if a guy does a crime, and for knas, for fines, which is anything not including the primary principal payment. If it's less than the principal payment, like half damages by a tam, or kefel, or 3 or 4 or 5, whatever, that is called a knas. And if you are moda for knas, you don't have to pay. So here you only have the two witnesses that said he stole. We have no other witnesses to obligate him for the 4 or 5. And therefore, if the guy admits, he doesn't have to pay.
So what happens if there's witnesses now
that come later? So that's going to be the next halacha. Halacha ches. Ches and test will go together. What we're going to discuss in ches and test is two principles in the concept of moda beknas, when you admit for a fine. Principle number one is that the admission must be what we call a halachically acceptable admission. For example, if you stole and then you just tell the guy you stole it from, I admit I stole from you, that's nothing. You know why? Because just because you said it now, when we take you to a court, you may say, I never said such a thing. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean what I said. And it could be you're only trying to get out of trouble. The only way it's called a real confession is two things have to happen. You have to say it in front of three judges, and you have to say it in the courthouse. Anything besides that is not considered a confession. All right? That's principle number one. And that we see in Halacha Ches. Mi shahayda biknas. Okay, we're going to have this, a second thing as well. There's a second rule that we're going to find, but that's going to come in the next halacha. So mi shahayda biknas v'achgach bo'edim. Let's say the guy admitted for the knas, and then after he admitted the knas, witnesses come. And we're not going to address that second part right now in this halacha, but let's just focus on the first part. Im hoda b'tchila, if he confessed first, and how did he do it? Bifnei Beis Din, before a Jewish court, meaning the three judges, Ube Beis Din, and in the Jewish court, Potter. Then he's Potter, regardless, we'll see, if Adam come afterwards. Because since he confessed before the witnesses came, so he confessed and he's out. Avol, but sticking to the form of confession now, place and everything. Avolim Hoda Chutz LeBeis Din, what if he went to three judges out of the court of law? Very interesting. What you tell judges out of the court of law doesn't count. Doesn't count because we're not in the court. The Shechin of Hashem isn't there, so to speak. They're not sitting in court, so to speak. So just because you told the three judges means nothing. Oh, let's say, Shehayda Bifnei Shemavad. Let's say you're in the court, but only two of the three judges were there. Still, doesn't count because you haven't done an official confession in front of three judges in the court. Now, if that's all you did, and then two witnesses come, so you never really did a proper confession, he would have to pay the fine through the testimony of the witnesses, because his confession was never a valid confession. Now, we come to one more part about this confession. So far we have a principle that you have to do it in the court in front of three judges. The other thing is, it seems that if you come before other witnesses came, you are still off the hook. So we'll see at Halacha Test, we're going to have to clarify that. And what do we clarify is the following. Why do we say Moda B'Knas is Potter? Why is the whole principle, and for what can we say Moda B'Knas Potter? You know, so the assumption is, if the guy comes, now, if witnesses say he steals, and then the guy confesses, it's worthless, because we don't need you, because you already have to pay. The whole point is you do it before witnesses come. Now, what is that showing us? It's showing us that you really feel bad and you want to do tshuva. And if you want to do tshuva, we don't fine you. The original amount you have to pay. But a guy who's sincere, he's doing tshuva. So you know what? We don't make him pay fines. So now how can we tell if the guy is sincere? How can we tell? If his confession indeed makes him pay something. But if his confession does not make him pay anything, then what's his confession worth? Now, that provided that no other witnesses, that witnesses come afterwards. So let's say like this. So let's say he steals, and he comes to the court, and he confesses he stole. So now by his confession, he obligates himself to pay what? The keren, the principal. But he doesn't pay the knas. So his admission made him pay something. So we see that he was doing tshuva. If witnesses come afterwards, we say, well, too bad, the guy confessed, and he was sincere. But let's say two witnesses, we'll say simple, two witnesses say that he stole before the guy said anything. Now we know he has to pay double. Right. Now the guy figured, you know, I could be in trouble here, right? So now what's he going to do? He's going to say, you know what, I also slaughtered it. Sure. I also slaughtered it. So now what happens now that he says he slaughtered it?
He
doesn't have to pay the extra double. The double or triple.
Yeah.
He doesn't pay the extra. But what did he obligate himself through the confession? Did he obligate himself to pay anything? No, because the first witness has already made him pay kefil. So now, what did your confession accomplish? You know what it accomplished? That in case witnesses will come afterwards, you won't have to pay. So that we won't let happen. You see the difference? When your confession, if we could know, how do we know that you're just not confessing, get off the hook, as opposed to being sincere doing tshuva? How can we tell? If your confession makes you pay. So if he confesses before he had to pay anything, and through his confession he pays the principal, and he's off with the kefil, so then we assume that was a sincere confession. And if witnesses come afterwards, it's not going to change anything. But if he already would be obliged to pay the kefil, and now he's there, now he's starting to confess, and he's only confessing to get off of the extra two and three, but that confession hasn't obliged him to pay anything. So now, if no witnesses will come, okay, he doesn't have to pay, not because of his admission, because there's no more witnesses. But if two witnesses will come after his confession, he'd have to pay four and five, because we have no reason to assume that his confession was sincere. So let's read it inside, and then we'll take the question. Everything was now is inside. Dao, test. Ketza, so let's give an example of this. Hoida b'fnei bezdin shegonav. He admits in front of a Jewish court that he stole. He admits. And therefore, he'll have to pay the keren, but not the kefil, right? V'yachach bo eidim shegonav. Then witnesses come and say that he stole. Potter min hakefil. He doesn't have to pay the double. Why? Sherechiv atzav lekerem kodim shebo eidim. He has already obliged himself to pay the principal before the witnesses came. Very good. Avali mamar. What if he said, they first said, you know, they want to bring him to court. There's no witnesses yet. He says, lo ganavti, I didn't steal. So he didn't confess anything. Shapater asked him to call. He wanted to free himself from paying anything. Uboim, and then afterwards comes witnesses and say Shaganov that he stole. Huh. So now he's got to pay kefil. Then he says, now that there's witnesses that have said that I have to pay, the chazer amar v'vezin, now he goes back to the court and says, Tafakhtir macharti, I slaughtered or stole it. So now it depends. If witnesses will come afterwards, Shetavach amachar to say that he slaughtered or stole, then he has to misham tashuv v'rechamish. He has to pay four and five. Why? Because what did his confession accomplish? Levisha poter atzma tchila miklum. because that confession is making him pay nothing. So if that's the atzibayim before the witnesses come, so in that case we don't consider a real confession. Now the fact that Rambam picks the case and says Arizis, I didn't steal, it doesn't have to bedafka be that. It could be even if he didn't say anything. We didn't ask him anything. Just witnesses said he stole. It won't make a difference. It doesn't matter if he originally lied or not. Even if he says nothing. But witnesses obligate him to pay kefil, that's it. Now that he comes forth and says, I slaughtered it to get out of paying the extra two or three. Well, you know what? If other witnesses are going to come, then we don't consider what you did was true. So very clear, so we get the point. That when the guy confesses, this will prove if you understand it. Go back to Halacha Zayin and tell me why this doesn't contradict what we learned in Halacha Tes. Go back to Halacha Zayin. It says, Im shnayim eidim shaganav, two guys in the middle of Zayin. If two guys testified he stole, right? And what witness came and said he slaughtered or stole? Or, shahodim asher shavachar. He admitted that he slaughtered or stole. Right? He admitted. After the first witnesses said he was a ganav, right? Mishantar shall get, he pays kefil, but he doesn't pay 4 and 5. Why doesn't he pay 4 and 5? What did his mission help? Why is he off the hook for paying 4 and 5? The answer is because there were no two witnesses. Two witnesses didn't come afterwards. So it's not that the admission will make him putter as much as that there were no witnesses that came after. So no, it's the admission will make you putter. But if it's your admission shows us that you're honest, and you know witnesses couldn't make you chayiv anyway. That's the difference. In other words, when you come to the court, only knows you stole. All they know is you have to pay two. They don't know about the slaughtering, and they won't. So now you come forth and admit. So now, if no witnesses come afterwards, he doesn't have to pay because no witnesses came after the words. Right, and it's kind of funny. I don't know why the Rambam has to say shemotiv eknas potter. Because motive, because the truth is, when you're motiv eknas and there's no witnesses, you will be potter.
It may say that if there wasn't.
Okay, so that's what Halacha Tes is filling in for you. Halacha Tes is telling you.
It is misleading.
That's why it was bothering me for a little while. I said it does seem to contradict, but the Rambam doesn't say witnesses came afterwards. So theoretically, in Halacha Zion, if two witnesses came after he admitted, then he would have to pay the 4 and 5 in that Halacha. So that's the difference. When witnesses come afterwards, if your confession made you pay something, then we know you were sincere, and the witnesses coming afterwards don't make a difference. But if your confession doesn't make you pay anything, so we're very suspicious that your confession was one of tshuva, and now we'll go with what the witnesses have to say, not with you. Because if you have nothing to lose, why shouldn't you confess? That's the point. When you confess to something and you have no skin in it, why should we assume you're doing tshuva? We'll just assume you're trying to get off the hook. And if witnesses come along, we don't need you. And go pay.
But what does it accomplish by him confessing?
Doesn't.
There's nothing accomplished. If, so why does he bother confessing at all?
Because he thinks it'll help.
Honestly, it's zero help.
The guy doesn't know the Rambam. What are you talking about? The guy confessed. So the guy knows, listen, some people, they know a few rules. Motive knas potter. Everyone knows. Motive knas potter. So he figures this all the time. Motive knas potter. So I was just going to say, I slaughtered it. Right? So we can never make you chayiv for that. We can't make you chayiv. We're not going to say, well, since we know you stole, so what did you help? So we have to say, until witnesses come, you can't pay. We have another rule. If you walk into court and say you do something wrong, you never pay. You never pay. If other witnesses, let's say you say, I broke somebody's thing. There's a guy wakes up one day, his tape recorder is broken. You come to court and say, I broke it. You don't pay.
You pay for the tape recorder.
No. Because how do we know you're telling the truth? I don't know you're telling the truth. You have to have witnesses. Right? It's not so posh what we accept, what we don't accept, right?
Because
he wants to get out of the double.
Right.
Get out of the double, he has to pay the Karen.
Right.
Because getting out of the double. But we don't always believe what you say. Not all the time. But so the point being, so if he's not really offering any skin over here, so why should we say the truth? So why don't we make him pay? Because there's no witnesses. Can't make him pay a knas if there's no witnesses to the fact that, say, he pays a knas. Remember, knas is above and beyond. We can't make a guy pay above and beyond if he's confessing. But not if he's just trying to get out of paying it and he's not showing he's doing any tshuva. Right? So the guy's doing tshuva. We say, okay, we're not going to fine him. He's doing tshuva. So, but if we have no way of knowing he's doing tshuva, then of course we're going to make him pay.
So what happens in the case that here he steals the object and then he shechts it? And then he quickly runs to the base and says, you know what? I stole it and I shechted it before any witnesses come.
So then he only pays the carat and nothing else.
So
because he already admitted to what he did. And we would hope he did, because he's a real ganef, he wouldn't come back.
Okay.
So that's for sure. If you admit as much knas as you admit, you're off the hook, provided that you paid a karen. Okay. And that's what we see from there.